we are quite popular for people wanting to film. We do have quite a lot of people coming and filming on our pier here. Costume drama stuff, quite a lot for children's television. It does make a great backdrop for people wanting to film and portray particularly Victorian type images, because it's quite unique.
It's a jewel. It really is. It's a jewel. It's a special place. And to be the managing agent of a town like this is, I think, perhaps one of the most satisfying jobs that there must be.
When I worked at the library, somebody brought some stuff of a mother and father and two children who came to Llandudno's to stay at the Evans Hotel in Vaughan Street near the railway station, I think in about 1883, somewhere around there. And it's a complete picture of all the things they could do, including have a steamer trip to Menai Bridge. They went to a Welsh concert at the Pier Pavilion, I believe. They even had that brown little ticket that you put on your case. So you got a complete picture of their whole fortnight in Llandudno and all the things that they could do here.
Main amusement arcade here at the entrance, yeah. That's become very much part of the seaside pier tradition. Very, very popular. Constantly having to be updated and new technology brought in. But yeah, sited at the entrance of the main entrance of the pier, not by accident. From here to the end of the pier is approximately half a mile's walk. And this is where predominantly, yeah, our customers come on. It's their first impression of our pier. As I say, from here it's out to sea, really. As pier operators, our main purpose in running this business is to maintain people's interest and therefore lengthen their stay on the pier. These shops are operated by the local community who rent the kiosks. They're very popular, and once they're all open and trading, yeah, it is a lovely, visual, bright, cheerful type array of shops here. This is Peabody's play area. We've got an inflatable type play area and a sort of four-lane Astra slide here.
The fun sort of areas for the children, etc. I think they can get away with these because many of them are not actually fastened down, so they don't have to have planning permission to put them on here. But on the other hand, do they have to have all this sort of thing in order to get the money in to maintain the pier? If they weren't here, would the pier be falling down?
I think when it first came onto the pier, yes, it caused some controversy and some debate locally. But as I said, the pier is a business, and we need to move with the times and provide the array of facilities that today's customer demand. But what we now see either side of us built into the pier waste which we're on now, what we're now using is kiosks. Originally, these were waiting rooms and sheltered areas for people coming using the pier for the craft sailing from the end of it. What we see now basically is what the viewing public would have seen 120, 125 years ago. There's bait shops and tackle shops for the fishermen, to traditional Welsh goods, to knitwear, wooden carved crafts, to costume jewellery, to a whole array.
The Pier End Pavilion is rather interesting to look at from the outside. It reminds you a bit of the Brighton Pavilion and, well, I always think it has a sort of a Raj or Indian touch to it. Jules Riviere of the Pier Orchestra came to Llandudno. He was a Frenchman who, when he was getting on in years, eventually came to Llandudno to start a seaside tradition of pier orchestras. He had about 36 musicians when he came here and had a dispute with the directors of the pier because, of course, the pierhead pavilion wasn't large enough for his orchestra.
It's a beautiful frontage we have here, which is unspoilt, very much controlled within the Mostyn Estates, who own the majority of the town itself. And they do put quite severe restrictions on the way in which people operate on the promenade in the front of the bay there. But it doesn't make for a beautiful, unspoiled view.
We would regard ourselves really as being somebody who stops the excesses of others, really. Whilst the planning consent is required for some things, we can actually have, we have more powers than the planners do under our leases. So we keep that absolutely wonderful facade which we have at the moment. There are sort of sticks and carrots in all this, but I think that it's well documented that if we hadn't been here, then Llandudno would have lost its Victorian elegance and would have become like so many other seaside towns around UK. You know, there are those who enjoy going to Rhyl and there are those who enjoy going to Llandudno. I think the pier is it's 120 years old, and like any other structure which stands in the sea and is battered by salt water and wind and so on, it is actually showing its age. If it was on the estate, I would be down there saying, right, get these repairs done and, you know, keep the place in good order. Because once that pier falls down or a chunk falls out of it in a big storm, then I wonder in my heart of hearts whether it ever will be rebuilt.
The majority of the money which we spend in maintaining the fabric of this goes unseen. The pier is in a very good state of repair compared to some, but there are always areas that in years gone by have been neglected, and there's some catching up to be done.
I worked here for 20 years.
1969 I started.
It's got to the dogs. Fly, look at it. And this, look at this. Imagine my day now, 2,000 people coming off the LMM boat, all trying to get up here, hitting this thing. They're not bothered, are they? It's just a big amusement. It's one big amusement. In my days, it was all decked. This ply stuff was unheard of in my days. If there was a loose plank for more than 10 minutes, I'd be in the office and I'd get a right rollicking for it. When I started 69, it was THF, Trust House 40s.
It's terrible now, this pier.
That's gone. Then it went to End Tam Leisure. Then it was Leisure Company number one. And I got made redundant when the Alman boats finished, because my official post as pier master ceased. All this amusement, this stuff wasn't here. It was very commercialised now, isn't it? A lot of, you know, amusements, T-shirts, and in my day it wasn't like that. You know, maybe I'm, I don't know, getting old.
If End is going to blow down, it's the kiosk we built 10 years ago, not the one that was 125 years old. They knew what they were doing when they built this. Starting the painting, it's like the fourth bridge. We invented the term, painting the fourth bridge.
It's continual, really. It's once you've got to one end, it's ready for starting again. It's just a case of sprucing now. Obviously getting as much we can done for the season, on the oncoming season. Having been set back by all the rain for a couple of months or so, you know, it's made things life a little bit difficult, so we've just got to keep plodding on with it, you know. It's you've got to do so much, you can't do it all in one go, but I mean, we do what we can as we go on. But it all has to be primed up, scraped down, wire brushed, and and burnt off as well, the handrails and the kicking at the bottom there. You do go through some stuff, as you can see. I mean, these shops alone on this section here have taken, I don't know, but you just don't count the gallons. It's took a heck of a lot, though. You can see the size of the pier. It's just one of them things that you look at and close your mind to it and get stuck in. you've always got to work in pairs. It's a rule that especially at the top end, because I mean, if you're going up there and the tide's in, I mean, you're in trouble, big trouble. One of the lads went in the other week. He was close to here, though. He was able to swim ashore. He was all right.
That, unfortunately, is the former site of the old pier pavilion, which in the pier's infancy in the late 1800s was basically the highlight of this end of the pier, a very grand domed Victorian pavilion that played host to a whole host of conferences and seaside type shows.
Petula Clark, the Beatles, Semprini on Sundays. And I, in fact, have a programme at home signed by Paul Robeson.
By the time fire crews arrived on the scene, it was already too late to save the timber-framed building. Then the battle began to prevent the fire spreading to neighbouring hotels. With flames shooting 100 feet into the air, guests and staff were evacuated from the adjacent Grand Hotel. As the battle continued, thick black smoke filled the night air. Burning embers were blown onto nearby hotels, causing several minor fires. It took 15 fire crews almost 2 hours to bring the blaze under control, But this wasn't the first time they've been called to the pavilion in recent weeks.
The building apparently has been used by squatters, and naturally they've been lighting fires to keep themselves warm. I would hesitate to say one way or another whether tonight's fires is the result of that sort of action or not.
This afternoon, the theatre, which has been closed since the early 80s, regained its former prominence as a tourist attraction. The hope in the town is, though, that this scene won't become a permanent landmark.
It is, as we see now, unfortunately, in a state of disrepair. All that's left really is the wrought ironwork. It burnt down some 7 or 8 years ago. We are hoping to redevelop that piece of land and incorporate some of the wrought iron features into a new development in the future.
It is still a listed structure, and the planners have said that anything that goes back here has to be put back to meet planning standards. In other words, it's a listed building in a conservation area.
Originally, the building itself housed swimming pools and various floors of theatre and whatever. In this day and age, I suspect we would have to be a little bit more commercially minded. I would have thought the town wanted to include some car parking. We would like to develop some sort of indoor facility.
Without a profit, of course, there was no money to carry out repairs. And I think this is so critical to get that development right. So that, firstly, it's a good visitor attraction. Secondly, it generates some money. And thirdly, that it will use that money to repair the pier so that this money goes round in circles for the benefit of everybody here who lives and works here.
A lot of the hotels along the promenade rely on coaches bringing especially a lot of older people to the hotel. So the worry there is that because these people are older, did they come here when they were young and they still want to continue? Will the younger generation, when they get older, will they still want to come here to stay in the hotels? It's worrying.
We're not looking to make it into a Las Vegas or some major gambling centre, but we do recognise that families want modern family entertainment, and there are different things that appeal to different people, so provision must be made.
You can see there must have been some vision originally when it was built, from what were sort of massive sand dunes and someone's vision to actually build this here. It says a lot for the Victorians. I think they were a very, very inventive and creative generation, and so much of what they did, Fulham didn't know, is still very much in existence. Intrinsically, not an awful lot's changed in the last 100, 125 years around here.
Where are we going?
Right, so then, see you. We're there.
Are you all right? We'll see you again soon.
Yes, okay.
Take care.
We won't give you a ring now. We've met you.
Right.
Radio.